This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
More than 9,000 recovering COVID-19 patients in New York were released from hospitals into nursing homes during the early days of the pandemic. The infected patients were released to nursing homes under a directive from Governor Andrew Cuomo's office. The new number, as reported by the Associated Press, is 40% higher than what had previously been released by New York officials. President Biden on Thursday slammed President Trump for not doing his job. His complaint is the former president didn't order enough vaccines, he didn't mobilize enough people to administer the shots, and he didn't set up federal vaccine centers where eligible people could go to get their shots. Biden went on to say the U.S. is on track to have enough supply of the vaccine to inoculate 300 million Americans by the end of July. A grand jury declined to indict Buffalo, New York police officers Robert McCabe and Aaron Torgalski on felony assault charges for pushing a 75-year-old Martin Gugino during a Black Lives Matter protest in June of 2020. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The BBC has been kicked out of communist China. It appears Beijing is upset with the media outlet's coverage of the pandemic and human rights abuses. USA Radio News' John Clemens reports.
Beijing has been upset with the BBC for its coverage of the pandemic and about China's human rights abuses. U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price condemned the actions of Beijing.
We absolutely condemn the PRC's decision to ban BBC World News. The PRC maintains one of the most controlled, most oppressive, least free information spaces in the world. It's troubling that as the PRC restricts outlets and platforms from operating freely in China, Beijing's leaders use free and open media environments overseas to promote misinformation.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
The British Broadcasting Corporation is a public service broadcaster headquartered in Westminster, London. This is USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Numerous members of the Proud Boys organization are facing charges. USA Radio News' Wendy King has more.
The Justice Department unsealed conspiracy charges against five people associated with the Proud Boys and asked that a member of the Oath Keepers be held in bond in filings related to the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Authorities arrested William Christman, Louis Colin, and Christopher Cooney in Kansas City while taking brother and sister Corey and Felicia Conalt into custody in Arizona. The five were charged with conspiracy, civil disorder, obstruction of an official proceeding, knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building, and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. The Justice Department has also issued a memo requesting that Jessica Watkins, a member of the Oath Keepers militia, be held without bond. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest News Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Earlier this month, Canada declared the Proud Boys a terrorist entity. Jazz fusion pioneer Chick Corea has died at the age of 79. The keyboardist and bandleader, best known for his work as a solo artist and with Return to Forever, And for company, Miles Davis died on Tuesday after battling a rare form of cancer, which was only discovered very recently. That's according to his official Facebook page. TGIF. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
After the top of the hour, great to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. DeRoy Murdoch joins us now. Always good to have you with us, DeRoy. How you doing?
Bill, great to talk to you.
Well, DeRoy is a Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, founding member of Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Well, DeRoy, we've got an impeachment underway. They're still moving forward. I guess where fools want to, I guess, scatter to, you just can't help them, you know. Even though this is going to be a fait accompli, they don't have the numbers. But meanwhile, in the process, we're just going to do everything they can to destroy Donald Trump and the voters, some 75 million voters.
It seems like that's all they have. I mean, look, you know, I just saw that the attorney general nominee for President Biden is waiting for a hearing or waiting for a vote to be approved so he can walk into the Department of Justice and get busy doing whatever Joe Biden thinks ought to be done at the Department of Justice. And he's waiting for a vote while we're all going through this rehash of the Donald J. Trump impeachment 2, the sequel, and the Democrats are pushing on that when the Department of Justice is waiting for a leader, and I'm sure there are many other agencies and sub-cabinet units, et cetera, who are waiting for their either secretaries or assistant secretaries, whatever it is, to come in and get busy. And we've got the U.S. Senate tied up with all this nonsense of trying to blame President Trump for something he didn't do. I think it's unconstitutional, although they voted, obviously, 56 senators disagree with what I just said, and they've decided it's unconstitutional. But the goal is to remove President Donald J. Trump from office. Guess what? He's removed. He's sitting in Mar-a-Lago right now.
Exactly.
He's not sitting in the White House. So mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, they're not happy enough that he's dead. They want him really dead. This is something out of Monty Python, right?
Again. Yeah, exactly.
This is Monty Python. Yeah. Is like, oh no, he's dead. No, he's not really dead yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just keep on, going here. And they keep exercising. The other thing I look at too, DeRoy, is I see all these people that we, the people, our taxpayers, are paying for this. I mean, all the millions of dollars that we paid for, over $70 million off the Russian collusion, and throw in the first impeachment into it. I mean, we're probably talking six figures of millions of dollars that we've expended on this this total hoax that has been going on for day one. But it still continues, and here we are. They're talking, and Nancy Pelosi hasn't even stopped to think about how much money, because last time I checked, it is the House that's in charge of the purse strings of our Treasury, are they not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the House is responsible for that, and here we go with another complete waste of time that I mentioned before, and a total waste of money. We're spending taxpayer dollars on this nonsense. And look, if there were some credible case that Donald J. Trump did something wrong on January 6th, I'd say, well, you know, go ahead and try it and see if anybody agrees. But you know, the impeachment managers, the Democrats, are pushing this thing, are hinging their entire case on the president using some allegedly nasty words that I guess turned to the riot, the chaos, and five people ended up being killed, as you know, or ended up dead as a consequence. If they really had a phrase, kind of like that phrase they lied about and distorted very fine people in Charlottesville after the Charlottesville riot, we would see that piece of tape over and over and over again. The reason you're not seeing it is there is nothing he said that's incendiary. You know, when he said, I think you people are going to go in and protest peacefully and patriotically, that doesn't sound very warlike. He said, go up to the hill and have your voices heard. That doesn't sound very much like an attack order. And so the impeachment managers, indictment, if you will, the article of impeachment accuses the president of using the words "fight like hell." The "fight like hell" triggered the riot.
Right.
Well, you know, he's not the first person to use that term. In fact, Chuck Schumer, of all people, May 2nd of last year, he said Democrats are going to fight like hell for COVID-19 related government assistance. June 8th, he said Democrats would quote "fight like hell" unquote for police reform after the George Floyd death.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got none other than Joe Biden himself. He said, quote, on this December 1, I want to make sure we're going to fight like hell by investing in America first. And then on December 11th, when he unveiled his new Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dennis McDonough, Joe Biden himself, December 11th, said the following: I've given Dennis a clear mission, fight like hell for veterans and their families. He said it twice.
Yes.
So either this is standard political boilerplate, in which case Donald J. Trump is off the hook, or in fact, if these are impeachable terms, we need to proceed immediately to the impeachment of President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Exactly. Well, maybe Nancy Pelosi, when she said the new terms that were going to be used in this new Congress, she forgot to add "fight like hell" in the new dictum, the acceptable dictum as dictated by the Democratic Party and Nancy Pelosi. You know, we got certain pronouns that are out. We've got to be so politically correct now. At some point, DeRoy, we've got to start canceling the cancelers.
Well, right. Maybe we need something that's a little bit more afterlife neutral, like "fight like purgatory." less offensive and less triggering to "fight like hell."
Yes.
No, it's just absurd. You know, the Democrats have nothing. They don't have a program. They don't have an agenda. They're driven and have been driven by only one thing since 2016, and that is hatred and contempt and revulsion with Donald J. Trump. And now that he's in the private sector, he's not running anything. They still can't let go. And at some point, probably next week, this impeachment sequel will be done. The president will not be convicted. He'll be acquitted. And then what are they going to do?
Exactly.
Once they've played with their little Donald J. Trump chew toy, what is a Democrat dog going to do?
Right.
Democrat donkey, if you will.
Well, yeah. Well, they took care of Marjorie Taylor Greene in short order for something that she had said even before she was in office. But we've had other elected officials in office saying things that I think were more outlandish than what she had to say. But, the Democrats in true form, and that was my statement, my rallying cry for the Republicans is WWND, what would Nancy do? Had Marjorie Taylor Greene been a Democrat, she'd still be on her committees. She'd still be a member in good standing, and this would be yesterday's news, but not the Republicans.
She probably would have gotten a fundraiser from Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Remember, Ilhan Omar made some comment, I think it was last year, about Jewish people. Israel hypnotizes people around the world to support Israel and oppose the Palestinians, or words to this effect. So the concept of Jewish hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds rather anti-Semitic and rather bizarre and rather kind of crazy. But Ilhan Omar is still there, just reelected. She's the apple of Nancy Pelosi's eye. And there she is, not slowed down, not hindered, not embarrassed, not censured, not anything. And this new woman, Taylor Greene, has come in. She's, knocked off her committees. It's always a double standard with the Democrats. Support for double standards, no standards at all.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, even when you Google her, she's shadow banned. I mean, you can't even, you see her name, it comes up, but you can't access anything that is associated with her name directly anymore. So she's persona non grata. She's been canceled to the ultimate, even by Google.
And she, whether you agree with her or disagree with her, she was elected by her district by, I believe, 75%. She didn't weekend. She got in very comfortably. And the people in her district, to their credit or discredit, picked her. And, she has a right to represent them and to be part of the discussion. And people can disagree with what she says, laugh at or applaud or whatever they want.
Right.
But just to erase her completely is totally inappropriate. You know, Ilhan Omar is still there. AOC is still there. They're all spouting their nonsense. Maxine Waters every day says something incendiary. She's on, you know, running the Financial Services Committee, for crying out loud. And there, again, no repercussions on their side. But if you're Republican and you say anything other than have a nice day, you know, you're pretty much in the crosshairs.
Well, there it is. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that the unemployment rate for homeless veterans was twice the national average? And without proper shoes, it's hard to get a job? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. People from all over the country helped us with our annual Songs and Stories for Soldiers Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans. There was a time this summer where we believed that probably it wouldn't be successful because of the pandemic, but decided to go ahead and do it anyway. We reached out in the local community and on the various radio shows that I'm on, asked for their support. In a little over 3 weeks, we received 400 pairs of shoes and over 1,000 pairs of socks for homeless veterans so they can go out and look for a job and have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We at Songs and Stories for Soldiers and all the 400-plus soldiers who will receive these shoes and socks say thank you for your generosity. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
We're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are. I am Bill Martinez. DeRoy Murdoch continues with us. You know, as we were saying just right before the break, DeRoy, there is a certain dialect that must be spoken to be the go-alongers of the Democratic Party. And even Republicans are measuring up. They're starting to switch sides. It's amazing what the lure of power does and how it will demonstrate a compromise of principles. You know, we saw this with Liz Cheney, and of course we've been seeing it on full display with Mitt Romney for quite a while, and others, shamefully. It's disappointing, because at the end of the day, you would hope that people would still be so principled that they could hold to values and I believe be true representatives of their constituency.
My late great friend Herb London, who passed away a couple of years ago, wonderful professor from NYU, and also the man who launched the London Center for Policy Research, with which I'm a senior fellow, he used to say that Washington, D.C., when you get there, starts off as a swamp, and before long it turns into a hot tub. And you want to stay in and luxuriate as long as possible. And this is true even for someone like Mitt Romney, who's fairly new to the U.S. Senate. But I guess you get the sense that they want to get along with all their new friends there, and they don't want to be make anyone uncomfortable. They certainly don't want any criticism from the Washington Post or that horrible newspaper on 8th Avenue in New York City, so-called paper of record, whose name I don't like to say out loud.
Right.
And because of these things, a lot of them start to cave in and do what the left wants. And what's really pathetic about that is it'd be one thing if you sort of start attacking left and the left says, okay, we'll be nice to this person. What usually happens is they attack them anyway. I don't see the people who voted for impeachment so far, getting accolades and rose petals thrown in their paths. They're still Republicans, which means they're still evil. They're still going to go after them no matter what. So it's not like you gain very much by betraying the party and the leader of the GOP at the moment. So it's really something where there's a lot of pain inflicted on other Republicans with really not much gain on the part of the perpetrators, if you will.
Well, it needs to be obvious to the voters that the system is systemic. I mean, this is a systemic issue. When it's all about getting reelected, I mean, especially if you're a House member, I mean, and you're on a two-year cycle, how much time do you really have to actually serve your constituency when it's all about fundraising?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. if you're a senator, you have on a six-year term, you've got some time where you actually can try to govern, I suppose. But if you're a House member, you're reelected every 2 years, which means you get back in, and not long after you're sworn into your second term, third term, fourth term, eighth term, whatever, you've got to raise money in order to get reelected. In fact, there's something called the Capitol Hill Club, and also the Republican National Committee, just southeast of the one of the office buildings on the House side. And you have members of the House who walk outside. They're not allowed to raise money inside federal property, so they walk outside. Go over to the Capitol Hill Club. They've got little booths where they sit, and they cold call donors to try to raise money, and then they run back across the street and attend meetings and hearings and speak on the floor, vote on the floor, et cetera. But a lot of their time is spent raising money, and once they raise that money, then of course they're beholden to those people, and then and very often the money comes from PACs and special interests, and they've got to do what these special interests want them to do, which means that they're torn between very often what their constituents want and deserve and what their political donors are paying them to do.
Well, I think this is why they were freaked out when Donald Trump came to town, because Donald Trump was not beholden to those traditional lever pullers, was he?
No, he wasn't beholden to anybody. He's a man who came in as a multi-billionaire and didn't even live off his salary. He donated his salary every month or every quarter, he donated his paycheck to various agencies within the government whose work he admired, like I think the Border Patrol and others. But he didn't need that money, so no, he wasn't answerable to anybody. He could do whatever he wanted. Nobody could control him. Nobody could pull strings and make him do anything. And he was very much his own man, and I think that's largely why he succeeded. He was able to do what he thought was right for the American people and was very successful in doing so. And as you say, the various donors and people who normally are able to yank on the chains of members of Congress and other folks in Washington, there was no chain there to yank.
Yes.
And so the president did what he wanted, not what the donors told him to do. That's
exactly.
Very big, very big part of his success.
Quite the exposing agent, and that was freaking people out, especially in light of what was going on economically, The globalists found an opportunity. They moved in aggressively. And, of course, that brought in corporate America, big numbers. Big tech was already in. The establishment media has already been in. Shame on them for abandoning their post. The establishment media has ill-served we the people. They are MIA in pursuing, you know, some critical questions that America still holds.
You know, my concern is, I've said a number of times that I wish we could go back to the days of media bias, as media bias existed under the Reagan days, where the media would tell you what happened. They tell you, you know, here's what the White House did today, here's what Reagan said, here's what Congress did, whatever. And they tell you what happened, but then they bring in a poor old lady on welfare or somebody in a wheelchair to say why it was mean and cruel and sadistic and on and on and on. But at least you got the news and knew what happened. Now there's something totally different. They totally block out stories. They don't mention them. You never hear about them. You get things like the Hunter Biden story back last fall, which was blocked by Twitter. The New York Post's Twitter account, the oldest newspaper in America, totally shut down for 15 days. And that story didn't really circulate unless you watched Fox News Channel. The other channels totally ignored it. And Joe Biden wins the election, no surprise. And subsequently, we discover from a survey that 17% of voters, if they knew about the Hunter Biden story, would not have voted for Joe Biden, and he would have lost the election. So we didn't have media bias there. We had total, outright, complete censorship.
It was total propaganda, yeah.
Brand new and highly dangerous. And you're right, the media are not doing their jobs, which is to tell the American public the basic facts and the basic news of what's going on in our society, and they're failing desperately in delivering on that responsibility.
Well, we're talking to the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor and contributing editor of National Review Online, DeRoy Murdoch. DeRoy, you write, the lawless, stupid pro-Trump mob that attacked the Capitol not only hurt Trump and the GOP, but it helped the Dems.
They really did. I mean, it's one thing to be sandbagged by your enemies, but to be sandbagged by essentially your allies or people on your side. You know, there's some question about whether some Antifa people were mixed in on January 6th, and if they maybe knocked down the barricades first and other people followed. But no doubt there were Trump supporters in there who ran into the Capitol, knocked down windows, and ran into the Capitol. It just shouldn't have been there. They want to go to the Capitol, you go through the proper channels. You go through the front door, you go through the metal detectors. They didn't do that, so they broke in, and shame on them. And if they thought they were doing a service or a favor to the president and his cause, they were not. The worst thing they did, was break in and five people are dead. That was the worst thing. But in terms of political impact, they shut down the very process of certifying the Electoral College votes and dealing with these objections to the Electoral College votes in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, I believe Wisconsin, and Georgia. Mm-hmm. And we would have heard, had the rioters not gone in there, we would have heard the debate about those states, why there were questions about those electors, what were the voting and voter irregularities, what evidence they have of these things. And I think, by sundown or the next day when all the votes were tabulated, Joe Biden probably would still be president. But I think a lot of people would have said, well, you know, there is a problem. There were a lot of shenanigans in the 2020 election. This wasn't Donald Trump and his supporters hallucinating. There was a real problem there. We need to clean it up. These rioters went in, shut that down, literally as they were debating the objection on Arizona. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, that ended, and the objections kind of evaporated. They voted later on Pennsylvania. Some senators were going to speak up and assist the House members in objecting to several states that, you know what, I'm out. I'm not part of this now. And that whole process got shut down. And now the right is canceled. We're all Nazis. We're all Klansmen. We can't have jobs. You can't work here. You can't work there. You're off social media. So those folks who rioted did a massive, 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 enormous disservice to Donald J. Trump, his supporters, and the entire conservative cause. It was a gigantic, enormous, Herculean, unforced error.
DeRoy Murdoch, as always, appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
Bill, great to be with you. Thank you.
More. mortgage rates are at historic lows. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-NUMBER-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amount $500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
More than 9,000 recovering COVID-19 patients in New York were released from hospitals into nursing homes during the early days of the pandemic. The infected patients were released to nursing homes under a directive from Governor Andrew Cuomo's office. The new number, as reported by the Associated Press, is 40% higher than what had previously been released by New York officials. President Biden on Thursday slammed President Trump for not doing his job. His complaint is the former president didn't order enough vaccines, he didn't mobilize enough people to administer the shots, and he didn't set up federal vaccine centers where eligible people could go to get their shots. Biden went on to say the U.S. is on track to have enough supply of the vaccine to inoculate 300 million Americans by the end of July. A grand jury declined to indict Buffalo, New York police officers Robert McCabe and Aaron Torgalski on felony assault charges for pushing a 75-year-old Martin Gugino during a Black Lives Matter protest in June of 2020. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you put crap on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
When your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And I say, "Baby, they don't." Because we're going to go in there and we're going to impeach them.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
You know, I don't know what kind of mother talks like that to their son. I guess I'm just out of step. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Dr. Wilfred Riley is with us, the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of the book Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And what he's been tweeting about a lot lately is that words matter. And Dr. Riley, it's good to have you back with us here. But when you hear this kind of rhetoric and language, is it any wonder that our heads are exploding? Because you can't make sense out of nonsense.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely accurate, and it's a theme that we've talked about over and over during my appearances on the show. I mean, the redefinition of everything from the term racism to, a little more disturbingly, the term sexual assault. And I think we're really seeing this in the case of the Capitol riot. You and I have both, although on the right, publicly condemned this. Mm-hmm. But the terminology people are using, like insurrection, coup attempt, we almost lost our government. Yeah. Borders on the nonsensical or crosses that border. I mean, I'm not really sure how that even theoretically would have happened. You could see something like a couple of punches to Mitt Romney, but the idea that you know, Trump sent his conspirators in to take over the U.S. government. I mean, that's not how that works. Coups work as they did in Myanmar. They involve armies.
Right. Exactly. Well, Hillary Clinton referred to them as co-conspirators. Like there was, I mean, look at, and the FBI has really proven this, you know, so empty and has really qualified some of these statements to such a degree, but it's not enough to keep them quiet. You know, the Cicilline's and these managers for impeachment and that, I mean, the reckless rhetoric that they're adding on top. I mean, they talk about Trump putting, you know, more fuel on the fire. I mean, what are they doing with their language that's so irresponsible? And what blows me away, Professor, is these are attorneys in most cases. And they have decided to really exercise, you know, I guess the looseness of a political trial versus a civil trial. And I just think it's just rank responsibility. It's hack responsibility. It's just total irresponsibility, you know, toward the American people when they present, you know, a case like this.
Yeah, I mean, this obviously is an extremely political process. So in a normal impeachment trial, I'm sure most of your listeners will know this, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court manages the process and sits in because it's such a dignified, important procedure. And in this particular case, because, I mean, you're talking about the impeachment of an ex-president, Justice Roberts essentially said he wasn't going to do it. As I recall, he pled some other sort of obligation. I can't think of anything really more important.
Right.
So you have the impeachment managers are, as I understand, 9 Democratic members of Congress. So, yeah, you can't really overestimate the extent to which this is going to be used as a political attempt to attack Republicans. I mean, you're seeing the claims that there were members of Congress that knew this was going to happen. You're seeing the claims that Trump directly inspired the riot. What the goal is going to be here is to pin this on the entire GOP.
Right.
And to say sort of QAnon is the Republican Party, these people with the Confederate flags represent the Republican Party. Anyone who doesn't vote for impeachment as a traitor. So traditionally, one of the great GOP advantages has been that Republicans are seen as kind of the patriotic party, maybe a little harsh on immigration and so on, but defend the country. And this is a rare chance for the Democrats to say, no, you guys are the term insurrectionists and so on. And they're taking full advantage.
Well, and like Republicans wear helmets. You know, I mean, that has been a trademark of Antifa throughout this summer of love. You know, clearly it was infiltrated. Clearly the FBI, you know, afterwards says, hey, look, we knew this was coming. I guess the suggestion was that they warned people, you know, to try to, you know, CYA, so to speak. But the way this thing evolved, and now they're taking full advantage and threw it out in the court of public opinion. And, of course, this had to be the case because before it was, you know, Trump got elected because of the Russians. And, you know, even Barack Obama said not one vote. But yet the insistence afterwards was, you know, by Hillary Clinton and everybody else, the Russians had to do it. And I think it's quite interesting because I don't know if you've seen these videos that are out there right now. But we've had the technology for a number of years within this country to manage votes, you know, coming from outside of the country. They have a tracking device that's pretty sophisticated and kind of awesome. Well, if that was the case, why didn't they demonstrate that software or that presentation when they made their allegations that votes came in from Russia? Because, interestingly, we have incredible evidence now available because of this governmental software program, this cyber program that's available, that shows an inordinate amount of activity from foreign actors, including China, to which it is pointed out that about 60% of the vote tally was affected directly from communist China.
You mean in this most recent election?
In this most recent election. It is mind-blowing. And, of course,
see confirmation of that. I mean,
yeah, well, take a look at this. I mean, of all people of all people, Professor, you've got a guy like, you know, the pillow guy, Mike Lindell, who's been putting this thing together, and it's not a bunch of chumps and, you know, a bunch of warmongers. I mean, these are military background, MIT professors, intelligent people who know cyber, and they said nothing short of cyber warfare took place during the election, and they lay out their, you know, their thesis. They show evidence of how this occurred. I mean, it's, I'll tell you, when I first got the link to it, it's a 2-hour presentation. I don't have 2 hours, you know, but I said, well, okay, well, let me check it out. And as I was doing it, next thing you know, 2 hours later, I've watched the whole thing. I mean, it's quite compelling. And, of course, the mainstream establishment's not touching this, you know, because everybody wants to say, just like so many other things that become, you know, the political point of the day, it's inarguable. We can't talk about this. It happened, you know, as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned. Donald Trump stole the election. He's an illegitimate president, so he deserves to be, you know, impeached once, twice, or whatever. But the crazy thing about all this impeachment deal is just like what the Democrats did with Harry Reid when they went nuclear. It came back and bit them in the back end. And I'm concerned that there's going to be a reaction down the road by the Republican Party, and there's going to be a Democratic president that is going to be ripe for the crosshairs. And what are we going to do? We're going to impeach him 3 times? Is that what we're looking forward to?
Well, I think so. There are 2 things. First of all, I actually will check out the presentation. There's some interesting things in alt media fairly frequently. We both watched the Trayvon hoax, I believe.
Yes.
In all honesty, I think it's extraordinarily unlikely. If you look at, I mean, some of the, for example, in Georgia, after some critique, they essentially went through, recounted the ballots. You can say that they did not do that effectively, but I think it would be very difficult to do that. Given my experience with cybercrime teaching, cybersecurity, and so on, I think it would be very difficult to do that if most of the votes had come in as one-time proxies from China. We'll see. If I had to give a serious opinion here, I think that any sort of rigging in the election, when the elite rig things, they do it legally because they write the laws.
Right.
So if you look at what actually happened prior to the election, you see states like Pennsylvania dramatically changing election law for this one election within a month of the election.
Right.
And that's how you allowed in whatever it was, I mean, 100,000 votes that may have been cast after the actual date of the election. That sort of thing, which is technically legal, obviously had a negative impact on Trump. If you look at who's more likely, young urban people to vote late, that sort of thing.
Right.
You also had the media stopping the major stories that came out of the Trump campaign. Like, we all know he probably leaked the Hunter Biden story. I mean, in fact, Giuliani said that. But, I mean, nonetheless, you rarely have seen the press stop an October surprise before. I think that that's more credible, at least without viewing the documentary,
right,
than some of the things people...
Yeah, you've got to see. We've got to go to break. More from the professor after this.
Is sponsored by Bank of America. Lifestyle expert and Bank of America spokesperson Gabrielle Flowers Rader shares tips to make Valentine's Day personally and financially rewarding.
There are plenty of ways to make Valentine's Day rewarding. I'm planning a day of crafting with my kids. A rewards credit card paired with a banking loyalty program maximizes the cash back you earn on your purchases. For example, the Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card offers 3% cash back from your choice of 6 spending categories that you can change each month. For February, I chose the online shopping category for my Valentine's-related spending on crafts for the kids. As a Bank of America Preferred Rewards member, I earn a credit card rewards bonus. Depending on their preferred rewards tier, members earn between 3.75% and 5.25% cash back with the cash rewards card for their purchases in the 3% category. That bonus is something to love all year round.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Bank of America member FDIC. This is sponsored by IBM. The FBI recently warned that nearly 60% of reported ransomware incidents between August and September 2020 involved K-12 schools, a 29% jump from the months prior. Yet nearly 60% of educators utilizing online learning say they have not received any new cybersecurity initiatives or training. IBM Security is working to rectify that with its new $3 million grant. The company will be partnering with 6 school districts to help better prepare them for the growing cyber attacks, including ransomware. Christopher Scott, Director of Security Innovation at IBM.
Ransomware attacks are quickly becoming the new snow day for our kids. We understand school districts have budget restraints that hinder their ability to properly prepare and train for these attacks. Unfortunately, the bad guys are also aware of this gap and see a chance to make a quick buck at the expense of our children's education. Our new program is focused on giving schools a fighting chance.
Schools can apply between February 4th and March 1st and will be selected to receive the grant based on their level of cybersecurity needs. Visit ibm.biz/security-grant.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
A little sentimentality. I mean, as we head into Valentine's, Professor, I know you and your one and only have great plans. I mean, do you take on the crowds of Valentine's Day, or just kind of the two of you just, you know, go off and enjoy some private time?
I usually will do something like cook dinner at home or go to the jewelry store early in the day. I mean, even in Chicago, Louisville also, I don't go to sort of well-known scene restaurants because there's sort of a line of angry couples outside the door. And so like my advice to listeners would be just relax with your spouse and a good bottle of wine or something.
Amen.
I'm
with
you. My whole Hallmark holidays rant. I mean, there's this block of about 15 holidays that starts at Thanksgiving that we just finished up.
You know, you bring up a good point here, and this is the deal. I mean, here's the day of love. You want to do something really nice for your spouse. You go to a restaurant. They're running behind inevitably because there's always somebody, you know, cutting in front, getting in there and messing up the whole reservation schedule. And next thing you know, you're waiting an extra half hour with a reservation. And, yeah, and things can get a little tense. It's a good point to use it there and go, this is why, for us, we say, look, we're either going to do it, early or afterwards, and as far as my wife is concerned, every day is Valentine's Day. So we just, as long as I heed to that, I'm okay,
Very gentlemanly of you. Bill. Yeah. I mean, I would say actually as a serious tip for kind of especially the younger men, if you want to be romantic, do something unusual. I mean, it'll be much more remembered if you propose to your partner really anywhere interesting. I mean, the gym and church come to mind, but you can think of something better than if you go to a Ruth Chris's Steakhouse on Valentine's Day and pull out a small box. I mean, she knows what's coming there.
Right, exactly.
So vary it up, make it interesting, hide the thing. And I mean, that's what gives you kind of those stories for the kids.
Well, exactly, because the thing, what happens, it's not so much the immediate impact as it is when they go and talk to the girlfriends, right? And, oh, he did that? Oh, my, and then they look at, you know, their significant other like he's some sort of less than chump that didn't measure up, that whatever he did that was spectacular the year before is now less than because he got topped by girlfriend number two's latest proposal, right?
Yeah, and I also find that groups of women at lunch are a little more flexible with the honesty about some of that stuff than groups of men on the ball court. But, and, I mean, there's an element of humor to it. I mean, one of my buddies, in addition to the actual diamond, when he went to the jeweler, he commissioned a moissanite ring that was four times the size and cost like a tenth as much.
Yeah.
And gave it to his partner just to let her show off for her girlfriend. Like, look what he did. And make the point, you know, all this is a little bit shallow. So have fun with it. Do things that are enjoyable. A big part of a romantic relationship is kind of laughing together. It's a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, let's put a bow on this impeachment thing. As you mentioned, there were some things. I mean, I cringed as well on that opening response from the president's legal team. They're wrapping things up today. Dershowitz says it should be short and sweet. Even Jonathan Turley, who I find him to be one of balance, in a legal mind that brings some clarity to it, has questioned the emotionality of the Democratic side. And this is what happens in any kind of relationship or interaction, is when emotions are the order of the day, somehow the connectivity with the brain synapses, you know, there's a lot of misfiring that takes place and disorganization. And that seems to be the case on, on the manager's side.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, you can understand that because these are members of Congress and they were there on the day of the riot. But I will say, one of the things that's important to remember about the Capitol riot is that absolutely no member of the House or Senate was hurt.
Yes.
Clearly no one was killed, no one was taken into custody, or I guess taken prisoner. These aren't, any officials of any kind, to clarify. But I mean, none of that happened at all. In fact, I don't believe that, with the exception of Senator Romney, who saw some of the goons down at the end of a hall, any of these people ran into the Capitol rioters. So we are seeing some extraordinary histrionics. And to get there, you have to not quite make things up, but come pretty close. So, I mean, you've seen these sort of AOC-style stories about how I felt when it was going on because I knew what could happen. I'm not sure how relevant any of that is to the actual claim in the impeachment trial, which is, did Trump start the riot? The answer to that, by the way, while having no sympathy for the riot whatsoever, is of course not. I mean, a lot of that was obviously pre-planned. I mean, if you look at people showing up with zip ties and so on,
exactly,
maps,
helmets,
of the Capitol.
Right.
Yeah, all of that. I mean, the claim that Trump's lines in his speech and a couple of days before, because you have to make very specific claims in a legal case, caused the riot, I don't empirically think that's true.
Right.
So you are obviously seeing a lot of political theater. The two themes are, one, we were almost all killed. No, you weren't, probably. I mean, there were hundreds of Capitol Police officers there that day. And two, this is all Republicans. QAnon is all Republicans. And it's important that the GOP just say, no, this was 830 rioters.
Right.
Only about 20 of them were effectively armed. That's it. This wasn't Mitt Romney and their rioting.
Right.
It was Mitt Romney running from the rioters.
Yeah. Well, you saw them, what amazes me, and I still see them, walking through Monument Hall, and they're in between the stanchions. I mean, it was like they were on a tour. I mean, I don't define that as a riot. And for all the over, concern of what happened on January the 6th, is like, where were you when they were in Lafayette Park, where there was some serious attempts going on there with Black Lives Matter and a church almost being burnt down? They put the president and his family in a bunker. I mean, the Capitol Police were seriously concerned about what it was happening then, but there was nothing said by the Democrats, no outrage whatsoever. They didn't feel any threat. AOC, I didn't hear anything from her. In fact, all I heard from some Democrats and others commentarily was that, you know, they wish they had gotten through and gotten to President Trump and his family. I mean, how absurd. But again, words matter. And this is what's into the body politic right now. And boy, we got to get beyond this if we're going to, you know, come to any degree of unity, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, one final comment on the Capitol riots. One thing that I would like to see is an actual schematic from law enforcement or something like that. And usually no police department has put this up online, probably because of the buildings involved. But I'd like to see where people actually were through the entire thing. I mean, so how many rioters got into what sections of the Capitol? The House impeachment managers proceeding looked at a little bit of this for a minute and tried to claim that Romney and other senators were almost attacked, could have been killed. But I mean, realistically, where were the police? There were something like, I believe, 350 police officers on the scene. My strong suspicion would be that, again, 800 people entered the building. You've got a couple dozen that are maybe capable of serious violence, and they're met by a couple hundred police. Where was the young lady? Where was Babbitt shot?
Yes, right.
I mean, what did the police defense line look like? I mean, the presentation is that there was this out-of-control mob rampaging through the whole building, and congressmen are sort of fleeing before them. Is that true? I find it very difficult to believe they don't have an evacuation procedure in the House. The whole Mike Pence thing, Pence could have been attacked. Doesn't he have a 12-man Secret Service detail? I'd be really interested, before even really commenting more in depth on where these people were, what
exactly
actually happened,
no.
Why aren't we being shown this? That I think is a question. But yeah, at some point, do we have to move beyond the day's events? Yes.
Yeah.
Final line, I do think you'll see an attempt from the left to make this another 9/11, if you're not already.
Right.
Where we don't move beyond it, where every year, at least under a Democratic speaker, there's some kind of ceremony. And I think that would be a silly mistake given the past year.
Exactly. Well, like I said, I think we all long to, you know, process all this. Let's get beyond this. Let's heal the nation. But we can't when we want to stay for political reasons in the midst of this bucket of gum and have a lot of, you know, a lot of opinion flying around and blatantly ignoring the facts. Because I often say that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And the court of public opinion, boy, I'll tell you, it's been pounding its chest and is very proud these days. And it continues to keep us in a quandary and in each other's throat. We got a couple of minutes left here, Professor, and I did want to address what you had been tweeting about. And, you know, this was interesting to note that in 1938, the black illegitimacy rate was 10 to 11%. Of course, we know today, you know, the rate has skyrocketed. The devastation of black families by liberal pay-per-child welfare policies is a tragedy. And I want to give you the last minute and a half, and you can break that down.
Yeah, so this is something that really struck me. There's a tendency to look at problems in the black community today and say, well, that's to some extent excusable. That's obviously the result of slavery. And what you find if you do real history or real political science is that that's not true. So in 1938, as you mentioned, I was looking at black men getting ready for World War II. Walter Williams has written about this. The black illegitimacy rate was 10%. Whites did even better, by the way. It was 5 or 6%. But, I mean, there wasn't massive crime in either community if you're looking at serious crime like murder, although, again, African-Americans were in a bit worse position. It wasn't racism, and it wasn't ethnic conflict between groups, because what I just said about whites, Latinos, that caused a lot of these issues. These issues started, you started seeing this stuff, epidemic urban crime, in the 1960s when the development of kind of that welfare underclass began. So trying to say, well, we need reparations, for example, because these problems all go back to slavery, whether or not there's any argument for that, I don't necessarily think there is.
Mm-hmm.
The problems don't go back to slavery. They go back to liberal do-gooding in many cases.
Yeah. Excellent point. He's the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. How do they, you know, follow you, follow your tweets and engage with you, Dr. Riley?
Well, I'm pretty, if you search Wilfred Riley, W-I-L-F-R-E-D-R-E-I-L-O-Y, like the Irish name, you'll literally find my Twitter, Facebook, personal email, so get in touch.
Thank you, Dr. Riley. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The final